Goodbye from me, Patrick, maybe, and goodbye from
Maureen, maybe.
So it's goodbye from both of us and...
Goodbye from me, Dr. Willow.
And from the...
Patrick and Maureen, maybe music experience.
The Patrick and Maureen Maybe Music Experience was written by Patrick Barlow, with Imelda Staunton as Maureen, Patrick Barlow as Patrick, Peter Jones as Dr. Willow Withings, Stella Gonnet as Professor Jacqueline, Simon Roberts as Bill, and Jack Davenport as himself. The script associate was Nev Fountain. The producer was Claire Jones.
Please, can I go home?
Sometime, Jack, sometime. Patrick and Maureen will be back next week when a Czech musician gets overexcited in a rather embarrassing way, and Juliet Stevenson is their guest.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Hello, Jim Lee here at 3 o'clock with this morning's 60-minute drama, The Good Soldier's Fight, trying to survive the killing fields of the First World War. In the next hour, a London city slicker brings his big city savvy to a Somerset Village pub's efforts to win the annual Carnival Cup. Carnival King is at 4:15, and Armando Iannucci's Radio Drop-In Centre examines prison overcrowding in the Comedy Club tonight at 10:30, with a little help from Clive Anderson and Joe Caulfield. First, the timeless portrait of the little man doubtfully waging his own war against authority, the good soldier Spike. Spike has been sent to the front in disgrace. Will he survive? It's the concluding part of a classic anti-war satire.
You are Private Joseph Spike of the 91st Regiment in His Imperial Majesty Franz Joseph II's Imperial Army.
Was there one too many Imperials there, sir?
Shut up and answer.
Do I know you?
Are you or are you not Private Joseph Spike?
I think you know that, sir, just like I know you.
You are aware that this is a court-martial?
Indeed, sir.
And that you face a charge of desertion and cowardice in the face of the enemy?
That's all the rumour has it, sir.
For which the punishment is death by firing squad. How do you plead?
With a certain degree of anxiety, sir.
Guilty or not guilty?
Is it possible I could take this opportunity to have a word with Lieutenant Lucas?
You will respect the court.
Only I need to speak to him about this code deciphering business.
Guilty or not guilty?
I'm worried there's been a bit of a cock-up somewhere along the line.
Guilty or not guilty?
Don't say I didn't try.
The Good Soldier Fight. By Yaroslav Hašek. Dramatised by Christopher Reason. Episode 2.
How on earth did he get himself in this scrape, you're asking yourselves? Because the last you heard, I was just about to set out for the Eastern Front to kill some Russians, right? And if you miss part one, don't get your knickers in a twist. You'll soon pick it up. Main thing to remember is, it's the First World War. And so far, only 1 million or so people are dead. So you've hardly missed a thing. Loads more senseless slaughter yet to come. Sit back and relax. Eastern Front, here we come.
What are you saying, man? You've lost one of the suitcases.
Lieutenant Lukash, my boss, thinks of himself as something of a ladies' man. But ever since he had the serious misfortune to win me in a game of cards, his life has been one long series of miserable catastrophes. Quite amusing catastrophes, actually. Perhaps not if you're Lieutenant Lukash.
Well, it was more in the way of being stolen, sir.
Yes, but you were supposed to be guarding it.
Well, the thief didn't play fair, sir. He took advantage when I stepped away from the luggage.
Yes, but why did you step away from the luggage in the first place?
I stepped away from the luggage in order to reassure you that everything was in actual fact all right with the luggage and there was nothing to worry about.
Oh.
The cunning swine saw that as his opportunity, sir.
Herbert!
Oh, come on, Spike! You're going to come to a sticky end one of these days, Spike. I still don't know whether you're just pretending to be a mule or whether you were born one. What was in the suitcase anyway?
Well, nothing that can't be looted or pillaged from enemy civilians, I don't suppose, sir, so I'm sure we'll be all right.
Are these seats free?
So it would appear.
Oh.
Face in the end, you're back to the end.
I don't give a damn, just sit down. Do you know, you're the bloodiest fool in the whole world. In 1,000 years, no one could make such a prize idiot of himself as you.
This has not escaped my attention, sir. I remind myself sometimes of a fellow I once knew in Nekazaka.
Oh, no stories. Do you know, I am sick of your damn stories. Now sit down and be quiet. I'm going to read.
The chap with the frog in his throat reminded me of someone. The fact that I couldn't pin it down was really getting on my nerves.
Why are you staring at me, man?
I know you from somewhere. Don't tell me. I know, I do. It's the bald head. That's one shiny scalp you got there, mate. Could almost use that as a shaving mirror. Yeah. Got it! I never forget a face. You're Mr. Pokerbeck, and you sell insurance, right? The Slavia Insurance Company. Am I right or am I right? What happened to the old Barnet, eh? A doctor once told me that air loss was all down to emotional trauma in childhood. Would you go along with that, Mr. Pokerbeck?
I am not Mr. Pokerbeck.
No? But you do sell insurance, right?
No, I do not. Neither did I suffer any emotional trauma in childhood.
Yeah, well, you say that, but of course you blocked it all out. If you were able to remember it, who knows? You might still have as good a head of hair as me.
I am Major General Adolf von Schwarzberg of His Imperial Majesty's General Staff.
Sir!
And I'm travelling incognito in order to make a surprise inspection of the garrisons at Budyovice.
My apologies, sir.
A little late for that.
Incognito? Well, you've blown it now, haven't you? Hey, because you've told me. Who's to say I won't spill the beans the minute we get there? Watch out! General about!
Is this idiot with you?
Oh, he spotted it. Just like that. How did you know?
Schweik, I think you'd better leave us.
With a scalp like that, your generalship, incognito is going to prove quite a challenge. I have an almost irresistible urge to pat it. Do you mind?
Get out! Are you not aware, Lieutenant, that an officer is responsible for his subordinates? You allow your servant to talk as though he were an intimate friend, and what's worse, to insult his superiors. You know where this leads, Lieutenant? Democracy! Is that what we want?
The thing that was fascinating me, whilst the lieutenant was getting his bollocking, was the communication cord. Now, why would you put something like that on a train? He's just asking for it. Like God putting the apple in the Garden of Eden and then getting all upset when Adam and Eve take a bite. What did he expect? If you don't want people on a train to pull the communication cord, don't put a communication cord on a train in the first place. I never touched it, I swear to God. What's everyone looking at me like that for? It was at this point that the guard tried to fine me 20 crowns.
Come on, pay up.
What's going on now, Schweik? What have you done?
Well, the general wouldn't let me pat his bald head, so I had to do something else stupid instead. But as I keep telling the guard here, while he's arguing with me about epoxy 20 crowns, we're wasting time. Napoleon was 5 minutes late at Waterloo, and look what happened to him. Hey, you, Mr. Guard, do you really want us to lose the war over a miserable 20 crowns?
And that's how come, when we pulled into the station at Tarbor, that I got hauled up in front of the station master.
You are not leaving this office until the fine is paid.
And I can only repeat the facts. I have no money to pay your blessed fine. Oh, and I'd like to take this opportunity to point out now that the train which is about to leave from Platform 1...
Not until you pay your fine.
...is the train with my regiment on it, bound from the front. And if you don't let me go...
Yes, when you've paid your fine...
I will technically, well, not technically, literally, be in breach of military regulations, to wit, a deserter, for which the sentence is death.
I know what you're thinking. This is how I ended up in front of the court-martial. Very wrong. Long way to go from here to there. Trust me. Many misadventures to be had before then.
20 crowns.
On top of which, I am regarded as absolutely crucial to the war effort. Without me there, things might go wrong. We might even win.
Oh, you had your chance.
Oh, that was my train. The die is now cast, my fate is sealed. The most I ever wanted was to serve His Imperial Majesty. When you think of all the noble ways I could peg it, joking on
gas having my leg blown off and eaten by gangrene. Strung out on the old barbed wire to die of thirst and be pecked on by the buzzards. 100 ways to make the supreme sacrifice, but you won't let me. All for a lousy 20 crowns. Do you not have a shred of patriotism in you, man?
All right. Here, forget the fine.
But I'm with the train. I am now officially AWOL. How do I rejoin my regiment?
Catch the next one.
To Budjevice, how much is the fare?
20 crowns.
But I haven't got 20 crowns.
Oh, for God's sake. They're right here.
Same again, bartender.
All right, yeah.
Trouble is, when you've just blagged yourself 20 crowns and there's a bit of a wait before the next train and the only place to sit down is the station bar, then a fellow with a thirst has got himself a problem.
And one for yourself, my good man. And another for my new pal over here. Oh, and making large ones all round. Here we go, my friend. Get that down you. Whereabouts in Hungary did you say you was from? Oh, no, you didn't, did you? Because you don't speak any Czech, do you? Look, tell me to shut up if I'm being too nosy, but how did you lose your arm? Arm? You lost your arm, yeah? How come?
Beef! Puff! Poof!
Oh, thanks for the tip, I'll remember that. Look out for the old piff-puff-puff when you get to the trenches. Are you married? Hey? You got kids? Little uns? Oh, 3 kids. You got 3 kids. What did I say? What are you crying for? Oh, yes, your kids, is that it?
Are you a Czech, yeah?
Oh, so you can speak the lingo after all?
Czechs.
Really?
Scum!
Well, that's not very nice. We're on the same side. Austro-Hungarian Empire. At least you lot get your name in the programme.
Enemy come. Czechs run away.
What do you expect when we don't even get a mention in the runners and riders?
Cowards.
Hey, now, don't knock cowardice. It's the one thing that's kept me going this long.
You deserve to die.
Can I just point out at this stage that I have just bought you a drink?
Stick 'em up!
You'd think being challenged to a fight by a one-armed drunk wouldn't hold too many terrors, even for a natural-born yellow belly such as myself. But I didn't want to disabuse the fella of his prejudices. If he wanted to think we were all chicken, who was I to try and persuade him different?
Listen, mate. I'm sure we can sort this out in a reasonable way.
Fight!
We're civilised human beings, after all. We don't have to resort to violence. Violence never solved anything.
As a rule, talk to any private soldier about this. The old military police don't figure very highly on his pleased to see you list, but there's an exception to every case, and on this occasion...
Oh, that hurt!
Everyone! On your feet! Oh. Documents!
It was like a visitation from heaven.
You on the floor.
Oh, what?
Where are your documents?
Oh, now, oh, there's a thing. You really got me at a bad moment on account of the old documents being with Lieutenant Lukas of the 91st, who somewhat thoughtlessly took them with him to Budjevice while I was unavoidably detained here at the station.
Every soldier must have documents. Without documents, I lock him up at Bahnhof's Militär Kommando like a mad dog.
Which was better than being beaten up by a mad one-armed Hungarian. Marginally.
The train containing the 91st Regiment left for Budjevice at 13:15 hours, whereupon you took yourself to the bar.
Well, there was nowhere else to sit.
And you somehow remained unaware that there were further trains to Budjevice at 14:15 hours, 15:15 hours, and 16:15 hours.
It was my misfortune to find myself with 20 crowns in my pocket and limitless supplies of alcohol available. It really was the most rotten luck.
You're a degenerate. What are you?
I think you just told me. Or was that a trick question?
Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Get rid of this man. Take him to the booking office and see that he buys a ticket to Budjevice and is put on the very next train.
Oh, one slight problem in that regard, sir. Distinct lack of the old folding stuff with which to purchase said ticket, and without any military documents, I can't get a warrant.
Very well. you can walk. And let your regiment do what they will with you when you show up a week late. Dismiss.
It's a long way to Budjovice.
Now, in an effort to baffle the enemy in the event of invasion, the locals had cunningly seen fit to turn round all the road signs to sow chaos and confusion in their ranks. This, despite the fact that there wasn't a Russian to be seen for 400 miles. And that's how it was that yours truly, Private Joseph Schweik, rather than going due south to Budjovice and his regiment, found himself instead going due west to Milevsko. And then later on, when I was eventually picked up by the cops, they tried to blame it all on me.
You say you were going to rejoin your regiment at Budjovice?
Yeah, but he was found walking in precisely the opposite direction.
I smell spies.
You what?
No papers, no identification of any sort.
What can I say? Guilty as charged.
So you admit everything?
Under the onslaught of such relentless interrogation, what's a chap supposed to do? Of course I admit everything.
He's cunning, Lance Corporal.
Oh, very cunning, sir.
Tell me, soldier, do you speak Russian?
Well, I like to think I can turn myself to most things. The drinking of ale, the procuring of stolen dogs, the walking in the wrong direction. But the speaking of the Russian, well, I do fall short of my own very high standards in that respect.
You're saying you don't?
Yes.
Yes, you do, or yes, you don't.
I can't remember you getting me confused.
Do you or do you not speak Russian?
Yet.
Aha! I smell spies.
That was a joke. I meant to say no.
Just because you look like an idiot, talk like an idiot and act like an idiot doesn't necessarily mean you are one.
Oh, yes, it does, sir.
I think you're far shrewder and cleverer than you are attempting to make out. I have a nose for spies and right now I smell them. Lock him up.
Here we go again. I decided that when this glorious war was over, I was going to write a little travelogue. The Idiot's Guide to the Jails, Guardhouses and Police Cells of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Fully illustrated, along with comments on the inedibility of the food, number and size of lice in bedding, standard of abuse from the staff. That sort of thing.
Anything you need?
Oh, very decent of you. Can I just say, it's very warm and cosy in here. Stove doesn't smoke, which is very good. However, I do. A little tobacco we're not going to miss.
Tobacco, you say?
Yes, sir.
The man's extraordinary. He knows he's going to be shot, and yet he acts as though he isn't a current world. That's character. If only we had some like him on our side.
Excuse me! I am on your side!
Such insouciance. He must be a very high-ranking officer. The Russian Secret Service would never send a mere corporal. Sent to the old Tomcat for lunch. The finest they have, along with a bottle of the strongest schnapps.
Right, sir.
But don't say who it's for. It's a military secret.
Can I just say, you've just won yourself 5 stars in the guide to the jails of Central and Eastern Europe that I plan to write the minute this war's over. You don't mind if I smoke my pipe, do you?
Go ahead.
Go.
Snaps all round, Lance Corporal.
Is this the professional way to go about an interrogation, sir?
Are you questioning my methods, Lance Corporal?
No, I was just saying...
Now, stop it, you two. Silly to fall out on my account. Tell you what, let me pour. Then if all this goes wrong, you can blame me.
He's smart. I'll give him that.
Now, you say you were travelling to Budjovice in order to join the 91st Regiment.
Well, that was the plan, yeah.
He's cunning, is he not?
And he speaks very good Czech.
Well, thank you. And while we're in the business of exchanging compliments, can I say that's a very natty uniform you have up there?
I mean, for a Russian.
Next question. I'm enjoying this.
Do you know how to take a photograph?
I think I do, yes.
Then why don't you have a camera with you?
Maybe because I don't have one.
But if you did have one, would you have taken photographs?
Well, I suppose I might well have done, yes.
And you might well have taken a photograph of her? Station, yes?
Yeah, probably the easiest thing to photograph of all, because it stays in one place and you don't have to tell it to smile.
So, the only reason you are not in possession of photographs of stations and other strategic buildings in general is that you are not in possession of a camera, yes?
No flies on you.
I smell spies. Let me top you up.
Not on another yourself. Back home, we consider it rude to drink alone. Go on. I know you're on duty, but don't worry. I won't tell if you don't.
Maybe just one more.
And one for the Lance Corporal, too. Tell you what, why not send him out for another bottle, or even two? If we're going to do this interrogation thing, let's at least make it fun, eh? Let me match you.
My lovely Slav Scallywag. My little Spy. What are you?
I'm a little Slav scallywag, and I'm a spy. And you can smell them, can't you?
Indeed, I can. What are you looking at him? What a lousy specimen, yeah. My Lance Corporal is. Can't hold his liquor. We'll show him what real men are made of, yeah? No. Say that in Russia, you don't have such good snaps as this. Say it so I can go to bed in peace. Say it like a man.
What can I say? We don't.
You don't?
No.
Good. You made me very happy. You've confessed. And that's how it should be at cross-examination. If you're guilty, why deny it?
I don't know. maybe to avoid being put in front of the firing squad.
You're a crafty one. A very crafty one. No wonder they made you a spy.
Yeah.
There's Javier.
With them both spark out and the keys to the outer office lying on the table between us, a less honourable man might have seized this opportunity to make a run for it. But it was damn cold out there. Besides, I'd taken a bit of a shine to the old police sergeant, and there was still a third of a bottle undrunk. And in time of war, waste is a crime. Never let it be said that Private Joseph Schweik is anything less than patriotic. So I took it back to the cell with me, locked myself in, threw the keys out through the grill, and slept like a baby.
Morning, Sergeant.
Not so loud. I brought you some breakfast.
Ooh, I smell pies. You know, some of the things you said last night in between the smelling of the spies.
What kind of thing?
Top of your voice, window open, be surprised if half the village didn't hear.
What kind of thing?
Long live Russia, that was one.
What?
The Emperor's just in it for the money, that was another.
Which Emperor?
Franz Joseph, of course.
Surely not.
Oh, yes. And that we'd be better off with the Tsar.
I only said that as a means of entrapment, to encourage you to talk.
And to think I fell for it. Do you think your superiors will see it that way when they get to hear?
Not so loud. No, such is the seriousness of your case that it exceeds my authority. So, the Lance Corporal is going to escort you to the District Gendarmerie Command at Pisek, to whom he will deliver my report. And when he asks how I found you out, tell him...
You smell spies, right?
If I take them handcuffs off, you won't do the dirty on me, will you?
You're a very kind man. Decent enough chap, that sergeant of yours.
Yeah, most people are scumbags.
That's a very benevolent attitude.
That's why I'm all for the war.
Sorry?
Well, because, statistically speaking, it kills far more scumbags than it does others.
You've got a soft spot for the human race, then?
There are far too many people, full stop. Millions will die before this war's over, and good job too, say I. Bub over there, fancy air of the dog?
We'll have another two large ones, landlord.
You are both drunk. Get out,
scumbag.
By the time I came out of the pub, it was dark and there'd been a fair old blizzard blowing. Poor old Lance Corporal was that bevied he couldn't keep on his feet. There was only one thing for it.
Give us your handcuffs.
You are?
I'm going to handcuff us together. That way you stand a fighting chance of staying upright. Come on, before you break your neck.
Only trouble was, when we got to the gendarmerie headquarters, we couldn't find the key, which failed to impress the captain.
You have a report?
I'm the prisoner, sir. He's the one you want to be talking to.
The man's drunk.
No, I'm not.
Yes, he is. You find it in his inside pocket.
Your name is?
Private Joseph Schweik, sir.
This report doesn't even mention a name.
That's because no one asked, sir.
The sergeant who interrogated you didn't even ask your name.
Don't think badly of him, sir. He was a very amenable fellow, and he can smell spies.
Never read such nonsense in all my life. If this war lasts any longer, the whole world's going to turn into a madhouse. Which regiment have you deserted from?
I haven't deserted from any regiment.
How did you get hold of that uniform?
I think you'll find, sir, that every soldier gets issued a uniform when he's called up. Fact is, I'm not deserting. Quite the contrary. I'm trying to find my regiment, the 91st, sir.
Did you explain this to the sergeant at Putin?
He sure wanted me to be a Russian spy. There was no talking to him.
Very well. Get a hacksaw blade and remove this man's handcuffs.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to write you out a warrant and put you on the first train to Budyovitsa, where you can rejoin the 91st.
Oh, that's a great relief, sir. Because I've been very worried about my lieutenant. Decent enough fella, but he can't so much as tie his shoelaces without me there to help him. He'll have missed me dreadfully.
Oh, God, no!
What's the matter, sir? You don't look very pleased to see me.
You know, I should have shot you when I had the chance. What would have happened to me? Nothing.
Probably have given you a medal, sir.
Could you not have given me just one more day? One more day, and we'd have left for the front.
Is it not awful dangerous there, sir?
Or do you think I fear death? Death would be a blessing. Instead, I'm alive and in hell with you. Oh. But since you're here, take a letter. Dear madam?
Oh, no, sir. You haven't been up to your old tricks, have you?
Shut up and write.
For those of you who missed part one, you need to know that Lieutenant Lukács is something of a ladies' man. Preferably married ladies.
Last night at the town theatre, I was, by accident, at a very lewd play. Are you getting this down?
Yes, sir.
A play which featured a number of dancing girls who chose to exhibit every aspect of themselves, save for their modesty.
Oh, God.
It was clear from the look upon your face, madam, that you shared the same revulsion at this spectacle as I. And yet, I could not help but notice that your husband watched all this lewdness with what can only be described as fascination.
Sir, are you sure about this?
You didn't gaze down upon her décolletage. I did. Now shut up and write. Excuse me, dear lady, for writing so frankly when you do not know me, but I have seen many women in my life, but none has made such an impression upon me as you. For your judgment and view of life are completely identical with mine. It is neither right nor proper that your husband should subject you to such humiliations. And so I take the liberty, dear lady, of asking in all honour if we may meet in order to discourse on the subject of art or whatever finer topic interests you.
We have been here before, sir, and you know how it ends up.
And I'm going to need you to book me a room in a hotel as well. Where were we?
Finer topics that interest you.
Yeah. May we meet? You will surely not deny this to one who will soon be fighting at the front, and who, should you grant him your precious consent, will retain in the turmoil of battle the most beautiful memories of a soul who understood him just as he understood her. Your decision will be my command, your reply the decisive moment of my life, yours sincerely, etc., etc. The lady's name is Mrs. Etelka Kakonyi, and she lives at 16 Sopran Street. Hand this letter to her discreetly and wait for a reply.
Now, keen listeners will remember where this leads. Outraged husbands, pistols, wailing women. It's not good. So this time, just to be on the safe side, I took along an old mucker of mine, Sapper Vodichka. He was just back from the front and had developed a somewhat jaundiced view about the rest of the human race.
Kakonyi. That's a Hungarian name. I hate Hungarians.
Why is that?
Well, don't you?
Well, we're supposed to be on the same side.
Listen, we hate the Hungarians. The Hungarians hate us back. We both hate the Austrians. The Austrians hate the Germans. The Germans hate everybody. And everybody hates the Germans. That's the way it is.
Well, surely none of them are as bad as the Serbs and the Russians. After all, they're the ones we're supposed to be fighting.
When did a Russian ever call me a lousy Czech good for nothing? And when did a Serb ever send me over the top with a clapped out rifle and the wrong kind of ammo?
So, what was it like? The fighting, I mean. What are we would-be heroes to expect?
You will cack yourself. Don't believe any of the propaganda. Because you won't be a hero. There are no heroes. You'll cack yourself when you get the order to advance. You'll cack yourself when you cut the barbed wire. And you'll cack yourself the first time you see a Russian bayonet. Hey, and you won't even notice. It was only when we all got back to our dugout we found out that every man jack of us had filled his pants. Even a dead fella, his legs hanging down and half his head blown away. He cacked himself so much it ran from his trousers, over his boots and into the trench where it mixed with the blood.
Do you find this offensive? Would you rather not hear? Does his language disgust you? Would you rather believe it was glorious or necessary or just?
Best to pretend. Makes the whole thing easier to swallow somehow. Otherwise, we might kick up a fuss, and that would never do, would it?
So my advice to you, mate, before you even get on that train taking you to the front, get yourself a spare pair of trousers. A 5 or 6, even.
Suddenly, the idea of being beaten up by Mrs. Etelka Kakonyi's husband didn't seem half so bad. In fact, a lifetime of being beaten up daily by Mrs. Etelka Kakonyi's husband seemed like small beer compared with just one day in the trenches.
Now, remember, if the husband answers the door...
You grab him while I get him round the throat.
No. We say, sorry, wrong flat, and just walk away, OK?
But I hate Hungarians.
Keep that to yourself. Just don't start any fighting.
Get him before he gets you. That's the rule.
On the Eastern Front, maybe, but not standing outside 16 Supron Street.
I was beginning to wonder if bringing along old Vodichka was such a good idea. We hadn't invented the phrase post-traumatic shock back then. He was just like thousands of others. The war had driven him nuts.
Yeah?
Oh, God, she's a kraut. I hate krauts almost as much as I hate Hungarians.
Shut up. Do you speak Czech?
Yeah.
You do? Great. Is your mistress in?
Yeah.
Can we speak to her?
Yeah.
Well, go on, then.
Yeah.
Do you ever say anything apart from yeah?
Yeah.
I'm beginning to get a bad feeling about this.
Just give her the letter and get out of here.
I'm supposed to wait for a reply. You see this letter, you give it to your mistress, yes? Can you do that for me?
Yeah.
Well, go on then. Oh, heck, the husband, what are we going to do?
Dieser Herr hat einen Brief.
Lassen Sie mich sehen.
Don't give him the letter, miss. For God's sake, don't give him the letter. Oh, blimey, let's get out of here.
A runaway from a Hungarian? Not in a million years.
I would like to take this chance to apologise to any Hungarian listeners who might have been offended by that. I can only hope that you're broad-minded.
Did you bring this letter?
And what if I did?
Are you Lukasz?
Who wants to know?
Why, you swine. Make a cuckold of me, would you?
At which point, all hell breaks loose. Because as luck would have it, a company of Hungarian hussars was passing, who felt obliged to come to the aid of their fellow countrymen. Fortunately for Vodichka, there was a platoon of Czech soldiers home on leave, who had much more of an appetite for fighting Hungarians than they did Russians. At which point, the military police show up. They didn't care who was Hungarian and who was Czech. They were completely impartial. They hit everybody. And before you know it... I've got another entry in my guide to the jails of Central and Eastern Europe.
You're aware that your batman, Spike, is under arrest and will probably be brought before a divisional court-martial?
In case you're wondering, still not that court-martial.
I'd like to apologise on his behalf, sir.
His behalf? Are you aware of this letter, Lieutenant Lukasz, that was found in possession of the aggrieved husband? This is your signature, yes?
Sir...
This incident might provoke a major rift within the Alliance, Lieutenant. The whole progress of the war is in jeopardy. And all because you can't keep it in your trousers.
Well, sir, I'd only just begun to correspond with the woman.
Oh, I don't want your explanations. We're hushing the whole thing up, pretending it didn't happen. Meanwhile, I'm putting you in command of the 11th Company.
Thank you, sir.
You'll leave for the front immediately.
Yes, sir.
And I'm assigning you a new batman.
Really, sir? Thank you, sir.
Oh, and I'm making Spike your company orderly. Dismiss.
Oh, God.
Sir!
Humbly report, sir. I'm here again. Big thanks for getting me off the charge. Much appreciated. And for the promotion. Company orderly. We'll see just as much of one another as we ever did, if not more. It's going to be just like the old days. why are you crying, sir? Has something happened?
All aboard! 11th Company!
Let's be having ya.
Forward to Budapest, after which next stop the slaughterhouse.
Where do you think they're sending us?
This was Ballon, the lieutenant's new batman. Stupidest man I ever met, including me. Hungry as a horse. Don't even offer him your hand, because he'll chew it off.
Russia or Serbia?
No, I wouldn't fret too much about it. You'll find a Serb bullet just as effective as a Russian one. Twist. And give us a slice of that salami.
Hey, hey, hey. I'll die first. Do you hear about the 28th?
What about the 28th? Where'd you get that salami anyway?
You're not having any. It's mine, do you hear?
Twist again.
Right, this is supposed to be a big secret. But two whole battalions of the 28th, officers included, surrendered to the Russians at the Dukla Pass without a shot being fired. Eh? Cross the lines, the band playing, everything.
You get shot for even mentioning that. Mm. Twist again. Oh, damn.
What's the food like in Russia, do you think?
The entire harvest of the Russian steppe wouldn't be enough for you. Are you really going to keep that old salami to yourself, you greedy pig? Yeah. Hey, whose deal is it?
Who cares? We're all going to die.
Cheerful Charlie Chudonsky, the occultist cook. He believed all kinds of weird religious nonsense.
Not that death worries me.
Of course not. Because you believe in all that reincarnation stuff, don't you, Chudonsky? The transmigration of souls.
There was a salami in my bag. Has anyone seen it?
Yeah, salami. I'd like a salami.
Shrike. Shrike, I need to speak to you in private.
We've just had a lecture from the Colonel about the new code protocol.
Code protocol, sir?
Yeah, for ciphering and deciphering telegrams. They brought in a new system.
That sounds deeply worrying, sir.
I know. Well, the problem is that most of the other officers seem to have grasped it just fine, but when I try and decode a message, it just comes out as nonsense.
Oh, dear. And you're consulting me, sir, because...
Well, the Colonel said that the new protocol is so straightforward an idiot could understand it. That's why I've come to you.
Thank you, sir. I won't let you down.
Now, you see, we've been given this book.
What book would that be, sir?
Well, it's a novel, The Sins of the Father, but that's not really the point.
Is it a good book, sir?
Well, I don't know. I haven't read it.
Well, that's where you made your first mistake.
No, you're not supposed to read the book. You've just to concentrate on page 161.
Why? Does it get a bit fruity on page 161, sir?
No!
With a title like Sins of the Father, there's got to be some sinning in it, right? That would interest a ladies' man, surely.
That's the page that contains the code.
Oh, right, yeah. How?
Okay. Now, this was the coded message that we were given. This is the telegram. Read it.
Thing, look, in, promise, the... Martha, you anxious? I'm sorry, sir. I know I'm an idiot, but this is baffling even me.
Mm. Well, this is how it's supposed to work. Right, you open the book at page 161, and starting from the top, you look down the opposite page, i.e. page 160, until you come to the first word in the telegram. In this case, thing. Are you following me?
I think so.
You count the position where the word thing appears. In this case, it's the 52nd word, and then on page 161, you count off the first 52 letters, and that gives you the first letter of your message.
Oh, right.
And then you go into the next word and do the same. Are you with me?
Sounds a trifle on the long-winded side, sir.
Well, the new system comes straight from battalion headquarters and we've got to live with it.
So what's the problem, sir?
The message you've got there, when decoded, is supposed to read... On point 228, direct machine gun fire to the left immediately. But when I try and decode it, it just comes out as complete gobbledygook.
All right.
And all the other officers seem to manage it fine.
But did you not say anything, sir?
Well, no. I was worried about looking a fool, so I just pretended.
Is it possible, sir, that all the other officers were pretending too?
Good God, Schweig. This might be right. Oh, no, no. No, come to think of it, I saw Dub do it. He came up with the right answer. It took him the best part of half an hour, mind you.
I can't help thinking, sir, if the message is supposed to read direct machine gun fire to the left immediately, and it takes the best part of half an hour to decode the message...
Orders are orders, Schweig. Now, I want you to take this book and see if you can work out where I'm going wrong.
I'll do me best, sir. Long live the Empire. So it was kind of weird when we disembarked at Budapest for the night.
Telegrams for you, sir, from Brigade HQ.
Oh, God. Are they in code? How strange.
What's strange about it, sir?
They're not in code.
Isn't that a relief, sir?
Well, maybe they've seen sense and abandoned the whole system. Would that be too much to hope for?
What does the first one say, sir?
Eat less protein, stop. Chew less cheese, stop. Ban beef, stop. God is watching you, stop. Eat less protein, stop. Has the old man gone stark raving mad?
What about the second one, sir?
Lentils are the devil's work, stop. Intelligence service abolished, stop. 13th March Battalion to enforce lowering of cheese ration, stop. Further details in newspapers, stop.
What about the third one, sir?
Ignore previous telegrams, stop.
Is that all?
That's all.
It was only later on that we discovered that the Brigadier had by then been relieved of his command and carted off to a sanatorium. He was no madder than any of the others. His mistake was allowing it to show. But by this time, the Lieutenant had forgotten all about the crazy Brigadier. Like everyone else on the platform, he was looking at the hospital train coming back from the front. It just went on forever.
Extra, extra, special edition. Italy declares war. Read all about it.
Suddenly, we had a whole brand new set of people to hate.
Treacherous swine.
Aye, they've always been treacherous swine, the Itais. Right back to Julius Caesar.
Aye, and every single one of them since. I hate them. I've always hated them.
Anyone fancy a slice of Parma ham?
Parma? Oh, aye, yes, please.
Oh, you don't hate them that much, then?
Give it here.
I haven't got any ham, you greedy pig.
Oh.
And if I did, I wouldn't give it to you.
I'm hungry.
He says he's hungry. But I know for a fact he's got half a liver sausage in his kit bag.
I have not.
He's going to wait till he's alone so he doesn't have to share it with anyone.
Hey, where do you think we're headed?
Notice the way he changes the subject.
It's the not knowing it. Drives me nuts.
Maybe there's been a change of plan. Maybe we're heading south.
You, men! Do you not know to stand and salute when an officer enters?
Stop, stop!
This was Lieutenant Dub. Of all the crazy, stupid bastards ever given a commission, this one took the dog's biscuit.
Do you know me?
I know you, sir. You're Lieutenant Dub.
I tell you, you don't know me yet.
Humbly report, I do know you, sir. You're from our March Battalion, and you're definitely Lieutenant Dub.
You don't know me yet. You may perhaps know me from the good side, but wait until you know me from the bad side. I'm nasty. Don't imagine I'm not. I make everyone cry. Very well, then. Do you know me or don't you know me?
I know you, sir. You're Lieutenant Dub.
I tell you for the last time that you don't know me, you mule. Do you have any brothers?
Humbly report, sir. Just the one.
And is he just as big a fool as you?
Well, he passed the officer's exam, if that's what you mean, sir.
Silence! Shortly, we will be arriving in Sanok, from where, tomorrow, we march to the front. So tonight, against any rational judgment, battalion command is granting you special leave. An opportunity for some rest and reflection before you go into battle. Do not be tempted. You know to what I refer.
Sorry, sir, I'm lost.
What do soldiers always do when their carnal appetites are given unfettered access to temptation?
Well, if they're loyal servants of the Emperor, sir, they resist it.
If! Don't think I'm unaware of the treason lurking in that word, soldier. You think you know me, but you don't know me at all. I can smell subversion and I smell it on you.
And perhaps if you were to spell out the bad thing that you don't want us to do, sir.
I'm talking about brothels! Dens of vice and iniquity. When the Russians retreated, they set up whorehouses everywhere. Why? To infect privates with venereal diseases. Knowing they will never defeat us in the field, they resort to underhand tactics such as these. But we shall not succumb. What won't we do?
Well, I'm slightly shocked, sir, that you can believe a proud soldier of the Empire capable of such lewdness.
What won't we do?
We won't succumb, sir.
Because I know you better than you know yourselves. Don't let me down. Don't let yourselves down. Don't let the Emperor down. You think you know me, but you don't know me. I'll be watching you. I'll be checking up. And by the way, there was a liver sausage in my kit bag. I don't suppose any of you men know what happened to it.
Liver sausage.
I haven't seen liver sausage. One for years.
It'd be nice, wouldn't it? A bit of liver sausage.
As it was, we couldn't get into any of the knocking shops. Everywhere we went, it was...
Sorry, sweetheart. Officers only.
But we're off to the front in the morning. This time tomorrow, we could be 1,000 pieces. Would you deny a poor soldier his last bit of bodily comfort on this earth?
Officers only.
Look, all the money I have left in the world. I'm begging you, please.
I haven't got the girls to meet the demand. Officers only.
And that's how we ended up in the bar.
Why waste money on women? Eh? A woman, she doesn't fill your stomach.
Where'd you steal that from, you greedy hog?
I don't know why we keep on sticking up for him.
Let Ballon eat himself to death. Better than a bayonet. Now why pick on him? Who's not on the take? From the quartermaster sergeant fiddling the meat ration to the Minister of War dishing out arms contracts to his mates. Everyone's at it. And if everyone's at it, you'd be a fool to do anything else.
When it's all over, will they erect monuments to us, do you think? Will they call us our glorious dead? Will they have services of remembrance? Will they try and pretend that this whole corrupt, stinking mess was somehow worth it? Will they still go to church and call themselves Christians and get Jesus to bless our sacred memory?
Shrike! Shrike! Ah, there you are. I need to speak to you in private.
What's the matter, sir?
I've got my marching orders for tomorrow. Now, the only trouble is, they're in that wretched code, and I can't make head nor tail.
Oh, dear. Problem.
So I want you to find Lieutenant Dubb for me. He was the only one that seemed to understand the damn thing.
And where am I likely to find Lieutenant Dubb, sir?
Well, that's what I want you to find out.
Of course, the last I heard, Lieutenant Dubb was going to be checking up on all of us tonight.
Officers only.
Do you know me?
Why? Should I?
You think you know me, but do you know me really? You know me left side, but do you know me right side? For instance, you probably know your 2x table, but do you know how many beans make 5? See what I'm driving at here? It's always far more complicated than it first appears.
Here! Where do you think you're going? Come back here!
For instance, I look like a common private soldier, but I am in fact Major General Hermann von Stauffenberg the 43rd, Crown Prince of Feuchtwangen von Strudel. Excuse me, I'm looking for...
Get out!
I'm just wondering if by any chance...
Go to hell!
Sorry to barge in on you like this.
How dare you, man!
I was just about to give up when I heard noises from what I took to be the bathroom door.
Who's going to find the submarine? It's hiding in the water somewhere. A periscope.
Hate to interrupt you in the middle of the old checking up procedure, sir. I have a message for you from Lieutenant Lukash.
You don't know me?
Oh, I think I do, sir.
I'm telling you, man, you don't know me.
I know your good side, I know your bad side, and now I know your backside. What's left not to know, sir?
Get out!
And Lieutenant Lukash is urgently in need of your code deciphering skills, sir.
For goodness sake!
When I say you don't know me, do you understand what I'm saying?
Your name will not pass my lips, sir.
Can I trust you?
I've told you, sir. I won't mention your name. Have you deciphered the code yet, sir?
Exactly the same order that I received for myself. We march for the front at dawn.
Rub-a-dub-dub, two holes in it up. Lovely grub for Lieutenant up. Rub-a-dub-dub, two holes in it up. Lovely grub for Lieutenant up.
I don't know you, sir. I'm sorry.
Tell them to stop
marching, sir. Surely it's you who should be giving the orders.
The singing!
What are they singing, sir? I can't even make out the words.
I'll have you for this fight. I'll have you!
By now, we were marching through the scene of the Russians' last advance. The 33rd had blown itself to bits fighting them back. Burnt out artillery by the side of the road. A village still in flames. Everywhere, a smell of corpses, stuck on a fence post like some glove someone had found and left, a child's hand. The land was stained blood red, and all the rain in the world wasn't going to wash it away.
Men, we've got a long march ahead of us tomorrow, which will take us to Felsten. And from there we go straight into the trenches. Might be a good time. Any letters that need to be written, well, now's the time to write them. Nothing much else to say apart from get your heads down. This might be the last chance of a decent night's sleep for quite some while. Dismiss. Schweig, a word.
Yes, sir.
Well, two things. I've got another of those damn coded messages. I want you to go to Lieutenant Dubb with this piece of paper. What's the problem?
Don't think I'm Lieutenant Dubb's favourite person at the moment.
Yeah, well, I couldn't give a damn about that. Just do what you're told. And the other thing, at first light, I want you and Marek to scout ahead and look for night billets in Felsten. Here's the map, all marked out for you. Couldn't be more straightforward. Oh, and no getting up to mischief on the way.
Right away, sir.
Schweig.
Yes, sir?
You're going the wrong way. Lieutenant Dubb will be in the officer's mess tent.
Yes, sir. Right away, sir.
So you didn't get the order deciphered? What did Lukash say?
Funnily enough, I've not seen him.
You mean you're avoiding him? What are you reading, anyway? How can you read and walk at the same time?
Trying to work out the code, aren't I? This was the Sins of the Fathers I was reading. Just as I suspected, it was a little on the saucy side, which helped take your mind off the smell. There were dead bodies everywhere. Only Marek would insist on talking.
Are you itching?
Of course I'm itching. Everyone's itching.
The whole regiment was infested with lice, and we weren't even in the trenches yet.
They promised us clean uniforms. That was a joke. Wouldn't mind so much, but I'm still soaking from last night. Are you soaking?
I'm trying to read.
There'll be a very good harvest here after the war. No need for bone flour.
The corpses have been rotting for over a week.
You'll make yourself a few bob. Sell the bones as bone charcoal to the sugar refinery. No one would ever know.
Are you keeping an eye on that map while you're doing all that reading?
What's the problem?
Because I think we've gone wrong. Give it here.
No, we're right.
If we cut across here, we can save ourselves a whole heap of walking.
Lieutenant Lukas gave me some very specific orders.
And since when did Private Schweig ever give a monkey's about that?
I'm in enough trouble already with this damn code. If you want to get yourself lost, you get lost. But I'm going this way.
I'll see you in Felsten, then.
And that's the reason I was by myself when I came across the escaped Russian prisoner washing himself in the lake. He was stark naked with his uniform on the bank.
Hey, you, mate!
But the minute he saw me, confusing me with a soldier who might give a damn, he scarpered.
Hey, mate! You're leaving all your clothes behind. I'm not going to hurt you.
But of course, being Russian, he didn't understand a single word. My own uniform was still wringing wet from last night, and the lice was driving me mad. Didn't seem so daft at the time, taking mine off and putting his on. That is, until a detachment of Hungarian gendarmes showed up.
Mikolas, is that cut full?
No, mate. You got it all wrong.
Didn't understand a damn word, but I did understand the gun he was pointing at me. Here we go again. At least it afforded me the final entry in my guide to the jails and guardhouses of Central and Eastern Europe. Always look on the bright side, though. That's my motto. Gave me a chance to finish reading The Sins of the Father in peace. Or so I thought. I was on the last but one page.
Then who is? Asked Hans, his eyes wet with tears. That, my son, you will never know, replied his father, as he raised his pistol and took careful aim. Hang on. It can't end there, surely. But what about the mistress he got up the duff? The other fellow that he killed back in chapter 21? This is ridiculous.
That's when I noticed. Continued in part two. The book came in two volumes. This was the reason the lieutenant couldn't decipher the code. He'd been given the wrong flame in one.
Guard! Guard! Somebody!
You are Private Joseph Schweig of the 91st Regiment in His Imperial Majesty Franz Joseph II's Imperial Army.
Was there one too many Imperials there, sir?
Shut up and answer.
This was where you came in, if you remember.
Do I know you?
Are you or are you not Private Joseph Schweig?
I think you know that, sir, just like I know you.
You are aware that this is a court-martial?
Indeed, sir.
And that you face a charge of desertion and cowardice in the face of the enemy?
That's all the rumour has it, sir.
For which the punishment is death by firing squad. How do you plead?
With a certain degree of anxiety, sir.
Guilty or not guilty?
Is it possible I could take this opportunity to have a word with Lieutenant Lucas?
You will respect the court.
Only I need to speak to him about this code deciphering business.
Guilty or not guilty?
I'm worried there's been a bit of a cock-up somewhere along the line.
Guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty.
Not guilty. But here, in my hand, I have a written confession. Stating you put on the Russian uniform of your own free will.
Well, mine was soaking and riddled with lice and I was cold.
Is this your signature?
I need to speak to Lieutenant Lucas.
Is it your signature?
Yes!
Then there is nothing more to be said!
Private Joseph Schweik, you have been found guilty of desertion and cowardice in the face of the enemy. You will be shot at dawn.
I bet you know me now, Schweik, eh?
Oh, Lieutenant!
What kind of a mess have you got yourself into this time?
I hope you're not too late.
Well, I'm trying to pull strings, Schweik, but they're preparing for tomorrow's advance and nobody will see me.
Not for me, the code, I've worked it out.
What code?
The one you wanted me to get Lieutenant Dub to decipher.
Well, what about it?
They gave you the wrong book. You should have had the second part.
Really?
Only I bribed the guard to get me a copy and I've worked it out.
And?
The message was from the artillery regiment, giving us their map coordinates.
And?
They think this village is still occupied by the Russians, sir. We're right in the firing line, right in the middle of the very village they're planning to shell.
The first one fell on the school where the officers were billeted. Farewell, Lieutenant Dub. Farewell, Colonel Schroeder. The second one, on the chicken sheds where the 91st was sleeping. Farewell, Private Malone. Farewell, Private Chudonsky. Farewell, Private Marek. The third on the cottage, serving as the guardhouse. Farewell, guards. Farewell, Lieutenant Lukash. And what of the good soldier's fight? He survived. Of course, he always does. Day he gets snuffed out, we really are in trouble. Things have gone very well for him since then. The Idiot's Guide to the Jails of Central and Eastern Europe proved a runaway bestseller. 8,538,315 soldiers died in what they were later to call the Great War. You have to take your hat off. They counted every last one. That's military efficiency for you. And that's before you even start on the civilians. You'd think we might have grown up a bit since then, wouldn't you? But, hey, I'm just an idiot. What do I know?
In episode 2 of The Good Soldier Schweik by Yaroslav Hasek, Schweik was played by Sam Kelly and Lieutenant Lukas by Adrian Lukas. Dub was played by Nicholas Blaine, Chudunsky by Malcolm Rayburn, Marek by Howard Chadwick, the police sergeant by James Quinn, and von Schwarzberg by Stuart Richman. Balloon was played by Eric Potts, the lance corporal by Mark Chatterton, the maid by Sylvie Naray-Davy, and Vodichka by Bernard Wrigley. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The Good Soldier Schweik was dramatised for radio by Christopher Reason and was produced in Manchester by Gary Brown.
Tomorrow's 60-minute drama is Captain Ahab's obsessive sea chase after the great white whale, Moby Dick.
The 2013 BBC Radio New Comedy Award. Meet the contestants from the third heat.
Put your hands together and welcome on stage the wonderful Alex Petrovic.
My name's Alex Petrovic. I'm from Brighton and I work in Admin.
I used to work in a call centre and then I went on to study media studies. I know normally those two things go the other way around. Just the kind of guy I am.
I have entered the BBC New Comedy Award because I'm quite a needy person, I think, and I would just like to be loved, evidently.
Well, keep that bonhomie flying as we welcome our second guest, the wonderful Steve Bajaya!
I'm Steve Bajaya, I'm from Manchester, and I'm a stand-up comedian and writer.
And my friends were like, of course you close your eyes, Steve, when you kiss a girl, of course you close your eyes. But, like, I was just thinking, I'm not going to close them. Like, that's how they get away, isn't it? Like... Like, I'm not stupid, you know what I mean? Like, I've had runners in the past. Like, I'm not going to...
Winning the award would be amazing because it would, like, vindicate all the times I've driven to Oldham for no money.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's continue this marathon of mirth as we welcome on stage the fabulous Harriet Kemsley!
My name's Harriet Kemsley and I work part-time for the NHS. Yeah, it's strange doing comedy, like... A lot of my friends have started to be described, like a lot of people on the lineup tonight, as like ones to watch. But I was recently listed as a one to watch out for, like a bear. I entered the award, I entered it last year, and it was really fun. I didn't get to the final, so I thought I'd enter it again, and do so for many years to come.
Please welcome on stage the fabulous David Stanier!
My name is David Stanier. I'm originally from Stoke, but live in Manchester, and by day I help scientists cure cancer.
Skulls don't have noses. How do they smell? Like sorrow and death.
I have entered because I really like doing jokes, and making people laugh feels ace.
Please welcome on stage the fabulous Michael Spicer!
My name is Michael Spicer. I'm living in Kent at the moment, but I was born in East London, and I am a copywriter.
I am a film buff. One of my favourite films is The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, although it was only recently that I found out his illness is fictional. So that was a waste of a sponsored walk and a bring and buy sale.
Very much on a whim, I decided to submit a SoundCloud to the competition and was astonished to get into the shortlist, quite frankly. But now I'm here, I really want to win.
The 2013 BBC Radio New Comedy Award continues here on BBC Radio 4 Extra. In Friday night's Comedy Club at 10:30.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
It's 4 o'clock. Good morning. Jim Lee here with the history next, but not quite as we remember it. Then in 15 minutes, a Somerset Village pub's carnival club is the setting for a comic tale of rivalry, intrigue and skullduggery. And the 45-minute drama later this morning is Mustard Seed by Nick Warburton, based on a Buddhist fable involving a traveller passing through a remote village who receives a desperate request from a mother to cure her son. Hear it at 11:15. Now the first of three stories which give us an unexpected insight into some momentous moments in history from witnesses who were there too. Eleanor Bron reads That Door by Elizabeth Cootey.
That door alone told the whole story. Even before I'd set foot inside, it was clear to me from the state of the door that things at the church had already gone downhill. The wood had seen no beeswax for a good couple of months, I'd say, from the greyish colour and the cracks appearing. And as for the brasswork, there was not a single one of its 47 nail heads that wasn't smeared and grimy. If you could even spot them, that is, beneath all the hundreds of papers nailed all over it from lintel to doorstep, fluttering like scraggy feathers on a chicken's back. Those fellows from Wittenberg University had obviously been allowed to get up to their old tricks again. It was a shambles. Herr Dorkheimer might have been a popular choice as the new church warden, with his generous way with the bread and beer for the organ blowers, but he certainly doesn't share your high standards, Albert. You wouldn't have known the place, my dear, and you not 6 months in your grave. My eyes brimmed up with angry tears, and blow me if I didn't, on an impulse, start ripping all those horrible papers off, and didn't stop, till the lovely old wooden door was more itself again. I stood there breathing hard, with a sweat risen up on me, even though the bitter October air froze my breath, and from the height of the moon it was long past the time I should have been back at home. Suddenly, there's a soft step behind me, and I near jump out of my skin. Some young chap in a university cap and gown, with a white rabbit fur trimmed to the hood, and, wouldn't you know it, clutched in bony hand a sheaf of papers and a hammer. "Yes," I hissed angrily, as if I owned the place. "And you are..." "B-b-b-b-" stammered the young fellow. Martin Luther. "And what do you intend to do with that hammer?" I demand. He tremored and shivered and waved his sheaf of papers at me. You wish to nail those papers to the church door?" I finished for him, or we'd have been there all night. "Yes," says Brother Martin softly. He staggers back and leans against the wall as though exhausted. There is a nervous fever about him. His robes could do with a wash, I notice, spying crumbs and unnameable smears. There was a blot of ink on his finger and another on his topmost paper. These academic types, I thought, only concerned with life from the neck up. Though I've no objection to reading. I'm a dab hand at it myself. Another little kindness of yours, Albert, to have taught me. Now, where was I? Oh, yes, Brother Martin. The warden has made no objections of late.